The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
John the Baptist was a unique person in history. What was his particular ministry? How did he prepare people for the coming of the Messiah? Is there going to be a future John the Baptist-type figure? Hey, thank you for joining us today. This is Grace in Focus. We are the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We'd like to mention our website, faithalone.org, where you can get more information about us, including our bi-monthly magazine, also called Grace in Focus. It is a free subscription. You can find out more at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Philippe Sterling.
And I wanted to say to all of you that we need more questions, and what we need is not the questions that have six paragraphs and we have to read through and try to figure out, is there a question in here? Give us one or two sentences total. Your question, just like if you were going to go before the President of the United States and you were going to be asking him a question at a town hall meeting and you were required to write it down and just have one sentence. Well, give me one or two, or give us one or two sentences, so it's real easy to know what you're asking. Then if you need further explanation, you can give it after that, but just one or two sentences will help, don't you think, Philippe?
Yes, in fact, just a comment. I was listening to a White House correspondent, some time ago, and he shared that he comes, to the press conference having worked hours on just precisely choosing one or two questions, phrasing it, and ready to go with it and with a follow-up question if needed.
That's great. Okay, well, very good. Well, Philippe has a question here, and it's about... Now, Philippe, you majored in Old Testament at Dallas Seminary, right?
Yes.
And, of course, Philippe teaches in our online seminary both the Old Testament survey and the New Testament survey. Philippe's very gifted in both areas. But this particular question concerns someone who's kind of a bridge between the Old and the New Testament, right?
Yes, and this is John the Baptist, and I'll read the question, and of course there were just a couple of sentences, leading up to the question, but the question first, my question is, how does the work of John the Baptist prepare people for the coming of Jesus? So this important personage, the forerunner, the one that goes ahead to prepare the way for the coming of Christ and for the kingdom.
Yeah. Now, we were talking just before we started, and I pointed out when I first read that question, I thought, that's so obvious. And then as I got to thinking about it, I thought, this is an excellent question, and we went lots of directions. So tell us what we're thinking about.
Well, first direction, perhaps, to go is to the Old Testament, to say about John the Baptist, and beginning, I think, with Isaiah 40, about the messenger.
And Malachi
And then Malachi, chapter 3, talks about the Lord coming to his temple, but there's the one that comes before him to prepare the way.
Yeah, that's why he's called the forerunner.
Right.
He runs in advance of of the Messiah, but he's not just Messiah, he's Messiah King.
Yes, he prepares the way, for the king to come and for the king to establish the kingdom where the nation prepared to receive him and corporately ready to welcome him.
Okay, now that was in Isaiah 40, right? And also in Malachi 3.
Right.
And doesn't that mean in some sense that Elijah failed?
Yes. In fact, Jesus at one point says, if you had been willing, he could have been Elijah who actually...
Yeah, now that's a puzzling verse.
Right, that's a difficult one.
What is that? Matthew 11, is it 11:14 or 14:11, one of those?
Well, concerning him, Jesus very directly says in Matthew 11, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. That's going back to Malachi 3:1 in particular, there. But it says, surely I said to you that about his greatness, there's no one greater than John the Baptist. But John will then be soon after Jesus began, you know, his public ministry, you know, John will be arrested and put in prison.
Right.
And ultimately lose his head, you know,
right.
too. And at one point, he sends his disciples who were visiting him, caring for him while he was in prison, you know, asking, are you indeed the one? You know, even he, John, said, appearing that the kingdom was not going to be actually implemented. You know,
at that very moment.
At that very moment. And he began to doubt himself.
Right.
And
even though he's a believer, he went through a temporary moment of doubt.
Right.
Just like the disciples did after Jesus died on the cross. Then they think, oh, well, he really wasn't the Messiah.
Right. And so he sends his disciples to inquire. And of course, Jesus' response says, well, look at the signs, you know, the deaf hear, the blind receive their sight and everything. So obviously, you know, he is the one that was to come, but the nation did not receive him.
Right, John 1:11, and also didn't the Lord say in Matthew 11:14 that if you are willing, he is Elijah.
Yes, and if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come.
But they weren't willing. Therefore, there's going to be someone coming in the spirit and power of Elijah in the tribulation.
Right, and so we can ask, you know, who might fulfill that.
Yeah.
As we read the book of Revelation, and we come to Revelation 11, that talks about the two witnesses, you know, that come.
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging, and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins' humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes, like faith alone for eternal salvation, and why the Grace Evangelical Society is zero-point Calvinistic. We come your way 3 times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
So one of those two witnesses
could have been this person,
Elijah who is to come.
Yes, and who prepares the way in judgment upon the nations and all, and who will also, you know, die and be raised back and ascend into heaven. But who could have those two personages be in Revelation 11? Possibilities, there are various views, but it's a possibility that the two men who did not experience death in the Old Testament,
which would be Enoch
and Elijah.
Elijah himself.
Right. And one, you know, in essence, was in the pre-flood world, the antediluvian world. And the other, you know, was a prophet to Israel and to the nations, Elijah, who was taken up into heaven. So is it possible that they will come back and experience death and immediately raise, 3 days, you know, raise
at the
from
mid,
the dead?
At the midpoint of the tribulation,
right.
And then people are going to be rejoicing and giving each other gifts all over the planet, and suddenly the two guys are going to stand up and they're going to ascend into heaven.
Yes.
That's going to freak people out. But during those 3.5 years, people don't seem to understand. Even though we're convinced the sign gifts are not operative today, it's pretty clear they're going to be operative during the tribulation, at least during the time of the two witnesses, because they're going to be doing the same kinds of things.
Down from heaven or call a drought, you know, upon portions of the world.
Yeah.
And those things that Elijah had been the agent to which God worked, you know, those signs. And then the final 2.5 years, the time of Jacob's troubles, is where the nation itself is being prepared, you know, to receive Christ. And, of course, at the end of the tribulation, they do look upon him, you know, whom they had pierced and welcome him, in essence. And it's at that time that Jesus descends to the Mount of Olives and judges the nations gathered there
at Armageddon.
Armageddon kills them all. You know,
or Harmageddon.
And then begins a process of establishing the Messianic kingdom.
Yeah, so let me go back to something I said earlier, because I meant it kind of tongue-in-cheek when I said, in a sense, John the Baptist failed.
Yes.
Well, he didn't fail. He did what God called him to do. Mm-hmm. It's really the nation that failed, right? Jesus says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing.
So that same phrase that is used here in Matthew 11, if you were willing, but They weren't. You were not willing.
So John the Baptist did what he was supposed to do. The Lord Jesus obviously didn't fail, even though his people didn't receive him in his first coming. But he knew all that. And he knew that first it was suffering servant of Isaiah 52 and 53. Then he's going to be the ruling and reigning king. And there had to be the time of Jacob's trouble. So there had to be at least 3.5 or 7 years between, if you go to Daniel 9:24-27, yes, it'd be 7 years unless you could count Jesus' 3.5 years of ministry as the first half. There had to be a gap between his first coming and second coming. Yeah.
Yes, and Jesus would have died, would have ascended, resurrected, right, you know, ascended in the 70th week of Daniel, you know, would have taken place, had right, the nation been willing to, and then they returned to establish a kingdom, possibly within, again, 7 years.
Yeah, because the apostles were reoffering the kingdom in the book of Acts, right?
Yeah. Yes.
They were telling the people, like Acts 3:19, this time of refreshing would come. And it required more than faith. It required national repentance.
Yes.
They had to be not only believing nation, but in fellowship. Nation.
Yes. So the reoffer of the kingdom during that early apostolic age, you know, the very least occurring. But the work of John the Baptist was to prepare, you know, people, you know, for the coming of Jesus. And part of it was in the Gospel of John was to prepare those who will become the apostles.
Right.
Too. And pointing to the Lamb of God, John 1:29, who takes away the sin of the world. And when his disciples begin to leave him, he rejoices in that they go to follow and be disciples of Christ.
Right. You know? He must increase, but I must decrease. Yeah, and by the way, John the Baptist was the last prophet, and there was a gap of 400 years. They call it the intertestamental period or the silent years between Malachi and John the Baptist.
Yes.
And you must imagine the fervor in Israel when this guy is out there and he's clearly speaking under the power of God. You know, he was a man of God, and the people were going out to him, and lots were being baptized. And, you know, some did come to faith, John 1:12, but most didn't.
Yes.
And so he did the initial work, but someone else, maybe Elijah himself, and maybe Enoch, they'll do that continued work during the tribulation.
Yes.
Yeah, very good. So who was the questioner on this?
This is from Gary.
Oh, from Gary. Okay. All right. Well, great. Thank you, Gary, and thank you all. And remember, keep
grace in focus.
Read many from our library of thousands of free magazine and journal articles online at faithalone.org/resources. That's faithalone.org. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, we talk about focused and flexible free grace positions. What is the difference? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.